Okay, today's daf is Erech and Daf Daled. We're going to start at the top, four lines from the top. Chayavim b'mikra megila. Kohanim, Leviim, v'Yisraelim. If you remember, we're in the middle of a section. We started with all these Hakol Chayavim. We had to say, who is Hakol coming to include? Now we're moving off to a whole section of Tanaitic sources that have the wording Hakol Chayavim, and with that it says Kohanim, Leviim, v'Yisraelim, and each time we have to say, what's the Chiddush? Wouldn't it be obvious? No, it's obviously, generally, males of all sorts are included in commandments, so what's the Chiddush? Right, whereas the previous section we kept saying it must be coming to include a katan or a woman in most of the cases. And in this case, it's obvious they're talking about all males over the age of chiyuv mitzvot. I don't want to say bar mitzvah because we already said it's not necessarily bar mitzvah is the cutoff. But each time we're going to kind of say, at least in most of the cases, right, it must be the kohanim we were trying to include. So now let's see. Hakol chayavim b'mikra megila, kohanim, leviim, v'yisraelim. So again, pshita. Obviously, who else would be chayav b'mikra megila if not kohanim, leviim, v'yisraelim? Lo tzricha livatel avodatam. The chidush here, and actually the chidush in this case is not just for kohanim; it's for everybody that they have to stop from their avodah in the mikdash. Specifically, we're talking about not just any work. Obviously, you have to stop any work for listening to the Megillah. But even, right, this is when we get into value of mitzvah, what comes before what. So in this case, they have to stop doing the Avodah, uchidu Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, in order to hear the Megillah. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kohanim ba'avodatam, ulevi'im b'duchanan, v'Yisrael b'ma'amadan, mivatzlin avodatam uva'im l'shmoa mikra Megillah. Okay, here you have that, the Kohanim, while they're working on the Mikdash, the Leviim that are on their Duchan, that's where they used to sing from, and the Yisrael b'Ma'amadan, you know what the Ma'amadot were. So if you remember, the Kohanim were split up into 24 Mishmarot. At a later time, they started having the Yisrael, kind of as a result, it's the earliest form of Tefillah that really exists, a formal Tefillah, as opposed to a spontaneous Tefillah, where the people in the Ma'amadot, we'll see this when we get to Masechet Tamid soon, The people, the Yisraelim, would send messengers, and their job would be, and most people say this was Be'ikvot Bayit Sheni, and it was Be'ikvot the Chorban HaBayit, after the Beit HaMikdash, the first one, was destroyed, and there were no Korbanot, so they needed to kind of fill in with something else, and slowly Tefillah starts to develop, and the first Tefillot where people pray, method Tefillot get accepted. Okay, we'll get more into this when we see them in Masechet Tamid. So, the Yisrael, the people from Yisrael who are working in the Ma'amad, they're davening that the Korbanot should be accepted. All those people have to stop what they're doing and go hear Mikra Megillah. There's a debate about whether, okay, this goes back to the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, right? If you're busy doing one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. And the question is it only in a case where you can do both? In other words, here, are we saying that you can only stop doing the, like, think about it. They're basically saying Mikra Megillah comes before the Korban Tamid. No, Megillah is the Rabbanan. There was no Purim in the time of the Torah. Korban Tamid is Dohaita. So some people say, oh, it's only in the sense where they'll have enough time to still do the Korban Tamid, the everyday sacrifice. There's a debate about whether it even trumps it, even if you can't do the Korban Tamid.
There was also that debate about the Tamid versus the thing that's
every. Yafeh. So that's what I was thinking also, that this connects with the Tadir v'sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Generally, you do what's usual, you do first. Here, this doesn't come into play. This is a little different because that's in terms of, I didn't mention it, because that's in terms of order. When you have two things in front of you and you have to pick the order. In this case, what they're basically saying is stop that, do this, because otherwise you might miss this and we don't want you to miss the opportunity to do it. Again, it depends exactly how you read this. There's a debate about it, about this, how exactly it works. Okay, next sugya. Hakol chayavim b'zimun. Everybody has to do zimun. Now here we're going to see that zimun, even though zimun is what we call a zimun, in Berkat HaMazon. Okay, what we're going to see now is that Zimun really is kind of synonymous with Berkat HaMazon. Okay, so everybody has to say Berkat HaMazon, Kohanim, Leviim, v'Yisraelim. So now the Gemara says, Pshita, what do you mean? What's the Chidush? Obviously, Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim all have to do Berkat HaMazon. So what are the answer? Lo tzrichi, and here there's a really interesting Havamina, Deka'achle Kodshin. If they're eating sanctified meat, okay, this is, right now, the question that becomes a big problem. What do you mean meat when we're talking about Berkat HaMazon? We don't say Berkat HaMazon on meat. So some people say we're talking about the offerings, the mincha offerings, which were bread offerings, or most of them weren't bread, they were more like matzah. Salkadat hachamin. Now, why, you might have thought it was fascinating. If you eat a korban mincha, you don't have to say berachat mazon. Now, why might you have thought that? And there's, again, the chidush of everyone is chayav in zimun, even kohanim, leviim, v'yisraelim, is coming to say, even if they're eating kodshim, they still have to do berachat mazon. Now, what's the strange hava amina that you might have thought why they didn't have to? Salkadat hachamina v'achlu otam asher kupar bahem amar rachmana. Baha kaparahi kamashmalan. So what does it say in the pasuk? It says that you're supposed to eat the kodshim. Why? Asher kupar bahem, because they provided you with kapara, with atonement. So it's almost like it's a mitzvah to eat the food that was part of the sacrifice in order to gain atonement. Okay, let's compare it to something we know. You don't make a bracha if you're taking medicine, right? Because the medicine is to cure you. It's not because, and even if it's a sugary kind of syrup, you don't make a bracha on it. You're not exactly getting benefit from it. You're using it for medicinal purposes. This is the same thing. You might have thought the korban was providing you with atonement, almost like a medicine, right? A spiritual medicine. So maybe you don't actually have to say berachat mazon. So comes this brayta to teach you. Kol chayavim b'zimun. V'achalta v'savata, the pasuk says. Amarachmana vaha itnihu. You are satisfied after eating it. You're satiated. So therefore, of course, you have to. Hakom mitzdarfim lizimun. Now we're going to say another thing about zimun. Everyone can join the zimun, meaning being part of the three people you need to be chai the zimun, or 10 people to say Shem Hashem. Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. So again, the Gemara is going to ask Pshita, isn't it obvious? Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim are going to be part of this. Lotzricha, now they're going to go back to the same kind of thing. Dekaachle kohanim truma o kodashim. But here it's going to be a different issue. We're talking about when a kohen is eating truma or kodashim. Now, what do we know about truma or kodashim that are for the kohen to eat? Only a kohen can eat it in Nadazar. So let's say you're at a meal. You can think of other examples now. We don't eat kodashim and truma, but they might be similar. Where you're eating, someone else can't eat. Okay? So now you have the kohen's eating truma and kodashim, and the zar ka'achil chulin, and the zar is eating chulin at the same table. Salkada tachamina ho'il v'ibai zar lamecha bahade kohen lo matze achil, eimalo. Since the zar can't eat the kohen's food, maybe you would think that they can't join the zimun together. Lo litzarif. You might have thought, eimalo litzarif. Maybe they can't be joined together for the zimun.
Is it kamash malan? Or simply different people eating different things?
Right. So then there would be a question, how far could you take this? Right. What else could you include in this thing? You could include, I don't know, let's say someone's not eating kosher food, and you're eating kosher food, and they want to join your zimun. Are you allowed to? Right? So the answer would be yes, based on what? Nihi dezar bahade koin lo matzah achil. Even though the zar can't eat what the kohen's eating, kohen bahade zar matzah achil. Right? So you can't, let's say, eat the non-kosher person's food, but the non-kosher food, the person eating the non-kosher food could eat your food, obviously if they're Jewish. And then you would be included because of that. So there is some point of overlap, even though it's not fully overlapping. There's another good example I thought of, but I forgot. Okay. Hakol ma'arichim. Now we get to everyone can do erichim. Kohanim, Leviim, v'Yisraelim. Okay, so now we're going to have a bunch of different options as to what this is referring to. Okay, so we're going to have three different possibilities. I want to keep the structure in place. I didn't have time to make a sheet. It would have been helpful for today. Anyway, I'll try to review the structure so you follow where we're going. So now we're going to have a kol ma'arichim, kohanim, leviim, v'yisraelim. So now again, erichim means they say, I'm giving the value of either myself or a person, and they say it in the lashon of erki alai, erich ploni alai, as opposed to saying dimei ploni alai. If I say, I'm giving the monetary value of so-and-so, then it becomes the world of nidarim, where it goes based on what the actual monetary value is. But if you say erki, or erech ploni, and you use the word erech, then it becomes the laws of erechin that we saw in the Torah that have very specific stated amounts, 50 for a male, 30 for a female, and then going down in age, that was 20 to 60 range, and then there's over 60, there's under six, under 20, and all the differences there. So now again, the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim can do this. So Amar Rava, lo nitzricha ela leben buchri. We need it for Ben Bukhri Shita. So now we're going to learn about Ben Bukhri, and then we'll get back to what the connection is. Ditznan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, Heid ben Buchri beYavne. Ben Buchri testified in Yavne, right? That was where the Sanhedrin went after it left the Beit HaMikdash. Kol Kohen sheShokel eino chote. If you remember, we had this before. Any Kohen who gives a machatzit shekel is not a sinner. Now, this is a very strange thing, right? What he basically says is, he seems to imply, even though the Kohen is not chayav to give the machatzit shekel, he's allowed to. And he doesn't do anything wrong if he does. Now, you think, what possible wrongdoing would you think he'd be doing? We'll get back to it. Amar lo Rabban Yochanan. Now, okay, so let's hold off right now on understanding how this connects to Hakol Marichim. Let's just try to understand the Mishnah. Amar lo Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says to him, Lo Kane, it's not the way you say it, Kol Kohen sheShokel eino chote, Ella, Kol Kohen sheEino Shokel chote. You got it wrong in terms of the order of words here. It should be any Kohen who doesn't give the Machatzit HaShekel is a sinner. Now, again, why would you have thought you'd need to say this? Ella, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, SheHakohanim Dorshim Mikra Zeh LaAtzman. The Kohanim try to exempt themselves from the Machatzit HaShekel, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came to say they have to actually give it. Now, why did they think they were exempt? They were darshaning this pasuk in a bit of an incorrect manner. B'chol minchat kohen kalil tihyeh lo te'achel. Any mincha that the kohen gives, if you remember, generally somebody voluntarily offers a mincha, what happens? You take a kmitza, okay, going back to Menachot, we learned this all for a while, you take a kmitza, you stick your three middle fingers in, you take out that, right, the Kohen goes in, he takes out that part, he burns that part in the Mizbeach, and the rest of it is for the owner of that Mincha, who brought that voluntary offering, to eat. Remember, Mincha is soled, and it's, you know, some flour, and oil, and water, and it goes with frankincense also. I'm not going to get into all the details. But when it comes to a Kohen who offers a voluntary offering, the entire Mincha gets burned. Okay, there's no part that gets eaten. So now, what do the Kohanim say? Well, if every Minchat Kohen has to be fully burned, well, then we shouldn't give money to the Machatzit HaShekel. Why? Because if we give money to the Machatzit HaShekel, what will happen? All the communal offerings will also be considered Minachot of Kohanim, and they'll have to be fully burned, and we know that they're not. Ho'il v'omer, the Omer had a Mincha offering of the barley, if you remember, Ushtei HaLechem, which is the Mincha offering that you bring on Shavuot, Vir Lechem HaPanim, which is also a type of Mincha, Shelanohem, He'achem Ne'echalim. If we give money to the Machatzit HaShekel, and they use the money from the Machatzit HaShekel to buy those three offerings we know get eaten, so it must be that we don't have to give the Machatzit HaShekel, right? This is creative interpretation of how to get out of paying money for something. So now, again, let's go back to our structure. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you got it all wrong. What it meant is, kol kohen she'eino shokel chote, because they mistakenly darshan that pasuk. But Ben Buchri still holds to what he says. So now we want to focus on Ben Buchri, because if you remember, the whole thing was, Hakol Marichim was for Ben Buchri's shita. So first we're going to ask about Ben Buchri. Ule Ben Buchri nami, kevan de lechatchila lamachayve, according to Ben Buchri, since lechatchila the Kohanim don't have to bring the Machatzit HaShekel. Remember how he said it. He said, kol Kohen that gives the Machatzit HaShekel is not a sinner, meaning he can if he wants to. But now we have a problem. According to him, if we let them opt in or opt out, then theoretically, when they give the Machatzit HaShekel, they're giving something that doesn't really... Right, it's not a mitzvah. Now, what's the big deal if it's not a mitzvah? Ki maite nami chotehu. Why? Dekama ayo chulin la'azara. It doesn't have the sanctity of the Machatzit HaShekel if they're not chayav. In which case, we're now bringing in chulin into the Beit HaMikdash, and chulin in the Beit HaMikdash, we know, is not allowed. So, what do they answer? Demaite lehu umasar litzibur. A few different interpretations of how this resolves it. They bring it and they give it to the tzibur, meaning they kind of give up ownership of it entirely and say, this belongs to the tzibur, in which case, once it belongs to the tzibur, it can be considered kodshim. It doesn't sufficiently really answer the question. Some people say that the concern is that when you bring something voluntarily to the Beit HaMikdash, theoretically, usually you bring it for your own voluntary offering, and you might claim some ownership rights to it, and then it won't be a tzibur thing. So what they do is they bring it and they say, we're giving up all of our rights to this, we're not, it's not going to be ours in any way, and that's what it means, umasar letzibur.
This adds wholeheartedly.
Right, exactly. That's right. That's the issue, that they're doing it wholeheartedly and not that they're going to come back and say, oh, that really was mine. In any case, what are we going to say now? So now we still have to figure out why HaKol Ma'arichin is the Chidush according to Ben Bukhri. So Sal Kedat HaChamina, you might have thought that what? Ho'il Uchtiv, V'chol Erkecha Yihyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. Okay, now, remember what Ben Bukhri said. What he said is, Kohanim are not Chayavim in the Machatzira Shekel. If they want to, they can bring it, but that piece at this point isn't relevant anymore. We're just focusing on Mikar Adin Kohanim Rana Chayav Machatzir HaShekel, according to Ben Bukhri. Well, now look at our Pasuk. It says the value, when you evaluate, you know, when you have to give that value of the Shkalim, according to people's age, it says in the Pasuk, Yihyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. Now, notice what word is in there? Shekel. What does that sound like? Machatzir HaShekel, the Chiyuv of Shkalim. So here's the drasha you might have thought. Kol de'ite b'shkalim, ite be'erchin. Anyone who's chayav in the machatzir shekel is going to be chayav in the mitzvah of erchin. V'hane kohanim, and these kohanim, ho'il v'litnuhu b'shkalim, since they're not chayav in the machatzir shekel, litnuhu be'erchin, maybe they're not chayav in erchin. So kamashmalan comes the source that says, HaKol Ma'arichim Kohanim Levi'im V'Yisraelim, come to teach you, don't think to make that comparison. Just because they're not Chayav and Shkalim, that has nothing to do with Erechim Kohanim or Chayavim and Erechim. That's his drasha. But Abai is going to disagree with his drasha. He's going to have issue with it. And then he's going to give his own drasha. Then Rava is going to have issue with Abai's drasha. And he's going to give his own drasha. Okay? So, Amar Le'Abai, Hai V'Chol Erkacha, but wait. The words v'chol erkecha, you can't learn to this issue. You can't think, oh, maybe it means to compare shkalim to erchin, because what does it come to teach you? V'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh. We already learned this. L'chol arachin she'ata ma'arich lo yu p'utin misela. Okay? Anything, we learned this in B'chorot, any erchin that you have to, anytime when you have to give the value of a person, what do we know? It can't be less than the value of a sela. And that's Huda'ata. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach you. It's not coming to make any sort of comparison to Machatzir HaShekel. It's coming, like you would have thought from the Pshat, to teach you about what kind of money are we using for this. So therefore, Abai doesn't think that's the reason. For Ben Bukhri, he has a different one. Ela Amar Abai Itzdrich. No, you really need to teach Konim Levim Yisraelim. Why? Salkadat HaChamina Ho'il Uchtiv Upduyomi Ben Chodesh Tifteh Be'erkecha. Notice what word they use when they talk about Pidyon HaBen. They use the same word, Erkecha, that's mentioned in our Pasuk. So now you can see where this is going. Kol de'ite b'Pidyon HaBen. So therefore, what is it coming to teach you, that word, Be'erkecha, in the Pidyon HaBen Pasuk? To teach you that anyone who's chayav in Pidyon HaBen, ite be'erchin. V'hane kohanim. Interesting, they don't say Levi'im here, but it really should be kohanim and Levi'im. Ho'il v'litnu v'Pidyon HaBen, since they're not chayav in the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, they're not chayav in erchin. You might have thought that because of the verse in Pidyon HaBen. Ka mashmalan. That's why the source comes to teach you hakol chayavim, even kohanim levim yisraelim. So we have two answers so far. You might have thought the comparison to machatzir shekel were kohanim p'turin, and that would only be according to Ben Bukhri, not according to the other opinion which disagreed and thought the kohanim are chayav in shkalim. The second option is Abai. You might have thought to compare it to Pidyon HaBen. And comes Rava, and he doesn't like that interpretation, because what does Rava say? According to your logic, Abaye, we would come to some absurd conclusion from some other place. Why? Amalei Rava, elamayata, gabe el asham. Okay, this is what we call asham gzelot. If you steal, and then you swear falsely under oath that you didn't steal, and then it becomes clear that you lied, or then you come forward and you admit that you lied, you have to bring a korban asham gzelot. And it says about the asham gzelot, Dichtiv, ve'et ashamo yavi la'ashem, el tamim minatzom be'erkecha. So now what are you going to say? If it says the word erkecha, let's compare it to erchin, and let's say what? Hachinami, kol de'ite be'erchin, ite be'el ha'asham. Tumtum va'androginus deleitnehu be'erchin. What do we say? Tumtum va'androginus can't be evaluated. They're not a zachar or a nekeva. There's something in between or safek. There, you need a zachar and a nekeva vadai. Since tumtum and androgynous aren't be'erchin, then what should we say? Since erkecha appears there and erkecha appears by el asham, if a tumtum and androgynous lies under oath, he doesn't have to bring an el asham, right? What an absurd theory that would be. Litnu ba'el asham? And therefore, you can't say just because the word erkecha appears in Pidyon HaBen, that comes to teach you that whoever's patur there is patur there. No, of course not. That's ridiculous. Ela amarava v'item aravashi. So either Rava then brings his own, or Rav Ashi brings a third, right? You know, either which way, it's going to be a third interpretation. Itzrich, why do you need it? Salka da'at hachamina ho'il uchtiv ve'he'emido lifnei hakohen. Okay, this is that last pasuk, which I didn't explain the other day, and I'm going to explain it today. The very end of the verse of Erchin, it talked about exactly what amount you give for which person that you gave that person's value, depending on what age, depending on what male or female. The last pasuk said, imachu me'erkecha, zvayikar kaf zayin chet. V'imachu me'erkecha, if, what does that mean? If he doesn't have enough money. Here's a fascinating pasuk. The Torah understands that sometimes people make a promise and then they don't have the money to pay up. So it says, if you can't afford what you gave the value of, what you promised the value of, ve'he'emido lifnei hakohen, you bring the person before the kohen. Ve'he'erichoto hakohen, the kohen evaluates how much money you can afford to pay. Al pi asher tasig yad hanoder yarichenu hakohen. He basically assesses, this is what we call heseg yad, how much money could this person theoretically pay? And the kohen assesses, okay, that's the amount you have to pay. It has to be minimum of a shekel. If you remember, the smallest amount for the erchin was 3 shkalim. We saw this yesterday, or 2 days ago. So the 3 shkalim is the smallest, but if you can't afford, then you could even pay minimum of a shekel. So what does this have to do with anything? So he says like this. Ho'il uchtiv emido lifnei kohen. You might think, v'lo kohen lifnei kohen. What does it say? And you come before the kohen. Now, come before the kohen sounds like someone else comes before the kohen. But you wouldn't have a situation where a kohen would come before a kohen. And since it doesn't make sense to say that the pasuk about the poor person coming before the kohen would be about a kohen, therefore you might have thought they're not ne'erachim at all. Kamashmalan ne'erachim. Kamashmalan. So therefore, it comes to teach you that they also, in other words, you could theoretically have a kohen coming before a kohen. That wouldn't be absurd. It's interesting if you think about place in society, right? It would be weird for a kohen to come in front of another kohen theoretically. You know, it would be odd. Like, aren't we in the same, in their world, it was a very hierarchical structure. Even though we talked about the problematic nature of it, where the other day, where you had a kohen who didn't really know anything about Nega'im, and you had a chacham kind of whispering in his ear, you know, say this, say that. Seems a little weird, but still, even though the hierarchical society a little bit broke down, you still might have thought there was some sort of hierarchy here, and maybe a kohen wouldn't stand before a kohen. Kamashmalan, that's why you needed to tell you. Okay, next piece. Ne'erachim. So now the word in the Mishnah, hakol ne'erachim, la tuye minuval umukachim. Everyone can be a value, you know, has a value, even someone who has no value in the shuk. Okay, like a despicable person that no one would ever hire him, or a mukachin, someone full of boils that also people would be scared he was contagious or something and wouldn't hire him. So those people are even included, even though if you said, I'm giving the value of that person, you'd say neder or some sort of deme, you'd say, I'm giving the monetary value of that person. It wouldn't work because they really have no monetary value. But if you use the lashon of erech of this mukat shchin alai, he's going to have the same value as whatever, you know, if he's a male in the age range of 20 to 60, he'll be worth 50, you'll have to give 50. How do we know that he's included? Menahane mile. Okay, now here's the next complicated part of today's stuff. It's not super complicated, it's just going to be very long. The structure is going to be like this. We're going to give a very long braita. Only one small part of this braita relates to our question, which is, what's the source for the fact that the mukachin and the minuval are included in erchin? Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drashot here. Okay, drasha number, which one is it? Oh no, there's 8 drashot. I think in the last one, no, actually there's more. Okay, fine, there's a lot of drashot, maybe 10 or 11. Number 8 or something is gonna be about the mukachin, okay, and the minuval. Then what we're going to do is we're not going to explain each case super well because the Gemara is then going to go into each case in detail after every case of the Braita, even though really we were only interested in that one line of the Braita. Once they quote a Braita, they like to talk about it. And the Braita is going to be all about drashot on the psukim about erchin. Ditana Rabbanan, be'erkecha, okay, the verse says, right, you have to give, let's just read the pasuk again. Let's see which pasuk are we looking for here. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ish ki afli neder be'erkecha nefashot la'ashem v'haya erkecha zachar miben srim shana v'chulei. Okay, so wait, so we're darshaning the word be'erkecha, which is, right, in the first pasuk I read, be'erkecha nefashot la'ashem. We're going to darshan be'erkecha, we're going to darshan nefashot, and then we're going to also darshan the part at the end that we just read before, which is v'hemido lefnei hakohen ve'erichoto. And then v'hayar kecha we're going to darshan, and the zachar and the nekeva. Okay, so start with be'er kecha. Tana Rabbana, be'er kecha, lahavi erech stam. It says satum, but the commentary says it should be stam. Okay, to include someone who just says, normally you're supposed to say erki alai, erech ploni alai. What if you just say erech alai? You don't say of which person. Then it's going to obviously be an issue. We're going to have to get into that later when they go into the details of this braita as to, well, what value do you pay, right? So we'll come back to that. Davar acher, another drasha, be'erkecha, erech kulo hu notem velo erech evarim. This I talked about the other day. You have to give the value of an entire person and not the value of evarim. If you just say your yad yamin, I'm giving the value of the person's yad yamin, my own yad yamin, since that's not... Erech is only the value of the whole person. So then, based on that, Yachol Shani Motzi Af Davar Shaneshama Tluya Bo. So basically, if you say Erech Yad Alai, it's nothing. You have to give actually nothing. But what if you say Erech, we talked about this the other day, Erech of a person's head. Now a head is something that the Neshama is Tluya Bo. If you take off the person's head, well, they'll die. So maybe that you would have thought is excluded. Tamud Lamar Nifashot. They say, we learn from the word Nifashot that it includes something that the nefesh is teloi bo. Okay, so be'er kecha comes to exclude evarim, but not evarim that your life is dependent upon. Nifashot, so first I want you to note that we already did two drashot from the word be'er kecha, which obviously they're going to say, we have a rule, you can't darshan one word in two ways. Nifashot's going to have the same thing. We're going to darshan actually a number of things from nifashot, and later we're going to get back to the problem. So the first thing from nifashot is afshan eshamat luyabo. Right? You say, erech of a person's head, you have to pay the whole person's body. Nifashot v'lo hamet. Okay? It has to be, because it says nifashot, it has to be someone who's alive. If you say, I'm giving the value of a dead person has no value, it's meaningless. Otziat hamet v'lo otziat hagoses. So maybe you would say, okay, a mate has no value, but someone who's about to die, maybe at this point he still does have value, or she has value. Tamud lamar, v'he'emid v'he'erich. Now, we learned this a long time ago. What do we learn from the Behemid means the Kohen has to stand, you have to stand before the Kohen, and then the Kohen will evaluate. So what would you say then? Kol sheyeshno bahamada, yeshlo baharacha. Who can be evaluated? Someone who can actually stand. A goses who's on their deathbed can't get up and stand, and therefore, they're not included either. Okay, so we excluded the mate, we excluded someone who's about to die. So kol sheyeshno bahamada, yeshlo baharacha, and kol sheyeshno bahamada, eino baharacha. Davar acher, another drasha on nefashot. Nefashot, ein li ala echad sharich echad. Echad sharich mea minayin. Tamud lamar, nefashot. Okay, now, it seemed, we were talking in the Torah about singular, right? A person gives the value of another person. What if he says, I'm giving the value of 100 people? How do you know that's included? Because the nefashot is said in plural. Davar acher, another drasha from nefashot. Ein li ala ish sheherich. Seemed to be, right? It started off, ish ki afli, bein ish, bein isha. And then we would assume an ish, right? Either he evaluates a male or a female because the Torah said male or female. That we got. But what about isha shericha ish? What if it was a woman who gave the value of a male? Or isha shericha isha minayin? Tamud lamar nefashot. Nefashot comes to say a woman who gives the value of someone would also be included. And that comes from nefashot. Davar acher nefashot. Here comes finally our drasha that we brought this for. Nefashot comes to include, right? Anyone who's a nefesh, a living, breathing soul. That would include lirabot menuvalu mukachchin. That would include anyone who maybe doesn't have value on the slave market, but would have a value of a person because they're alive and breathing. Sheyacho neder be'erkecha. Now, why might you have thought to exclude them? Because it says, neder be'erkecha. That was the pasuk we read. It puts the word neder and erkecha together. Now, what it really means in the pshat is, you gave a vow in the form of an erchin type vow. However, we've been comparing all along a neder, which is when you say, I'm giving deme ploni alai, right? I vow that I'm going to give the value of this person, as opposed to saying erki alai. So neder and erchin have different criteria about them. Now, because it says neder right next to the word be'erkecha, and neder, even though, again, here it really means you vow in the lashon of an erchin vow, however, since, again, in the world of drashot, you could say, well, this looks like it's juxtaposing both nedarim and erchin, which means kol sheyeshno bedamim, anyone who has value on the shuk, on the slave market, yeshno be'erchin, could also go into erchin. You know, you have to pay. But kol she'eino bedamim, eino be'erchin. But you might have thought, one who can't be sold on the slave market, like a mukachin or a menuval, eino be'erchin, maybe you don't have to pay anything if you said erch of that person alai. Talmud lamar nefasho. Therefore, the word nefasho comes to include even a mukachin and a menuval. Like I said before, we're going to have to explain how we can possibly darshan so many things from the word nefashot, because we generally have a rule, one and not more than one from every word. V'haya erkecha. Okay, now the pasuk continues and says, V'haya erkecha zachar miben esrim shana v'chulei. L'rabot tumtum v'androgynos l'damim. This comes to include, now this is a very strange thing, it's coming to say, remember, tumtum and androgynous is not included in erchin, but it is included in neder, and where they learn it? From the erchin pasuk. Seems quite strange. How could you learn, if the whole topic is erchin and not nedarim, how are we learning from here to nedarim? So, right, if I say I'm giving the monetary value of a tumtum androgynous, well, they can work in the slave market. They have value. So therefore, you'll be chayav. Sheyachol, now again, how do we get this from here? Yachol neder be'erkecha. Again, we're going to try to say, you might have thought, since neder comes right next to erchin, kol sheyeshno be'erchin yeshno bedamim. Now we're going the reverse. Whatever has erchin could also be bedamim. But kol she'eino be'erchin, like a tumtum and androgynous, we're going to learn where we get it from. The tumtum and androgynous aren't part of erchin. Eino bedamim. Talmud lomar, therefore it says in the pasuk, Bahaya erkecha zachar. What does that come to teach you? Zachar velo tumtum v'androgynous, right? Ha zachar comes to say only if it's fully, clearly male, not if it's safek male or female. Yachol lo yuhu be'erech ish, aval yuhu be'erech isha. You might say, okay, tumtum and androgynous, what's the issue? They're safek male or female, right? The tumtum is hidden, the androgynous has both, we don't know what to call them. So you might have said, okay, fine, we're not going to be machmir or make you pay the male value, but since it's sefek, maybe we'll make you pay the lower value. Talmud lamar, v'haya erkecha hazachar, we've also seen this drasha in the past, because it says hazachar, the male, that means vadai male, v'im nekeva, the extra word of v'im, it just could have said unikeva, because it says v'im nekeva, that comes to teach you vadai nekeva. Okay, so therefore, again, where did we start with? We said here, we said, Bahaya erkecha. Now, well, I didn't exactly explain this yet, but let's go backwards. First, they said you might have thought that tumtum and androgynous, because, okay, we just proved now, how do we know tumtum and androgynous aren't erchin? If you evaluate them, they're not going to be part of erchin, you're not chayav. You might have thought it would be the same for nedarim because it says neder be'erkecha. Therefore, come these extra words, v'haya erkecha. Now, v'haya erkecha, like I said, is in the erchin psukim. But what are we going to say about them? This is classic drasha, even though it doesn't say the words inside. It's an ime no inyan drasha. Since there's no purpose for those words, they're unnecessary words. You could have had the pasuk without them. Therefore, there's no purpose for them. For erchin, therefore, since they're not talking about erchin, they must be talking about something similar to erchin. They must be coming to teach about neder. And what are they coming to teach about neder? Bahayar kecha comes to be an inclusive term. Inclusive, it's including tumtum and androgynous, and it's including them for neder. We made a lot of jumps in that drasha. Okay, next. Okay, that's the end of the braita. Now we're going to start going into all the cases in the braita. Amar mar, be'er kecha lerabot erech stam. My erech stam, what's this case of erech stam? Ditanya. It says in the Braita, Haomer erech stam alai, noten kepachot shebe'erchin. If you say just the word erech and you don't say who, you have to give the smallest amount. well, kama, how much is that? Kama pachot shebe'erchin, shloshet shkalim. Okay, it's the three. The amount of the least person that there is. What's the other possibility? The one shekel that the poor person has to give. So we're gonna raise that as a possibility. But first we're gonna raise the possibility, maybe, right, normally, safek d'oraita l'chumra, maybe you have to give the highest amount. Ve'ema chamishim, here comes a famous line you're all familiar with, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mu'ad tafasta. Okay, now how does this work here? So it could work as like this. One is to say, okay, this actually came up yesterday, it's always given these things. I was at Ben Gurion's house in the afternoon, and they asked us to guess how many books we think Ben-Gurion had in the room, okay, that we were in. So my daughter, who doesn't exactly have a good sense of numbers, my youngest daughter said 10. So, you know, there were like thousands of books in the room. So, and someone else said 3,000. It turns out it was 5,000. But now let's say you had said 10,000, so you would have been wrong. But 10, right, the joke, we made the joke, well, she said 10. We're like, you're right. There are 10 books in this room. Right? There's more than 10 books, but there are 10 books in the room. So that's exactly what they're saying here. When you said erech, what did you mean basically? You meant at least three, right? Three is definitely the right answer, whether it's 100% right, but it's okay? So that's one way of reading this. Yeah. You can't be wrong, exactly, whereas 50 might actually be wrong, okay? And we don't want to be wrong when it comes to kodshim, right? We don't want to make mistakes. So that's the I think the best reading
right.
of it. Exactly, the price is right. Exactly. If you go over, you bust. That's good. It's a good exactly.
They got it from the
Gemara. Yeah, fit. Ve'ema shekel. But wait, if you want the minimum, it should be shekel. Dichtiv v'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh. And they say, and they darshan from that, right? Since it has to be b'shekel hakodesh, that's how they get that the ani lefachot has to bring a shekel. So they say no. That's ahu b'hesig yad hava dichtiv. Right, that's hesed yad. That's only for a poor person. That's a whole different story. That's not the minimum value. That's just if you can't afford it. But here we're talking about someone who can afford. It's just not clear what he meant. So we don't include that. Ve'ela kra lamali. So now, why do you need the pasuk? Because the assumption is like this. If you didn't, the whole thing was we had a drasha, okay, be'er kecha, to teach you the erech stam is three. But they say, why do you need a pasuk for that? We would have just intuited that on our own. You could have figured that out from tafasta marubala tafasta, right? You would have figured it out. So what do you need a pasuk for? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, lomar she'eino nidon behesed yad. It's to teach you specifically that we go three and we don't go one. My taima, why don't we go by hesed yad? Kimifarish dami. Because someone who says stam is really saying, I'm giving the erech of someone in particular, I'm just, right, it's as if, right, there's two ways to understand the stam ki mefarish tami. One is that it's as if he said an amount, and therefore you can't bring him down to a, this is actually interesting, this is basically one way of reading this, is that you actually can't, if you said stam, you can't go up and say I'm poor and I can't afford it. Because different from any of the others, all the others you just said I'm giving the amount of a person. And we could say, well, let's, you know, maybe we could drop it down. But when you say stam, what you really mean is, I'm giving three shkalim. It's as if you said an amount. Because you said an amount, we can't drop you down to a shekel. That's one. One is saying we just treat it like a neder of three, and therefore there's no din of hesed yad. And it's different ways, but let's move on. Ika da'amre. Now that's one version, that it's three and not one. Some people say, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, nidon behesed yad. Dafka, even stam could be nidon behesed yad. We could drop you down to a shekel. So then they say, pshita, isn't that obvious? Just like any neder you make, again, this pshita question assumes you didn't read the last sugya, the last reading of it, because this is a whole different reading. And then the question is, what do you mean? Of course it could be behesed yad. Why should stam be any different from any other? So here they're going to say, the answer there is going to be what you might have thought. Mao ditema kimifarish dame ka mashmalan. You might have thought it's different, that it's as if you said three shkalim, and therefore you can't drop down to one. Ka mashmalan, that you can. Okay, so those are two opposite conclusions you would come to. Now we're going into the second drasha. That was all on the first drasha of Be'er Kacha, Erech Stam. Be'er Kacha, Davar Acher Be'er Kacha, Erech Kulo Notein Ve'eno Notein Erech Demei Dami, Demei Evarim. You don't give the value, if you say the value of a hand, there's no such thing because Erech Yad Alai, Erech Yad Ploni Alai, there's no such thing, it's only the whole body, right, the whole person. But wait, didn't we already use Be'er Kacha for the first drasha? Could we use it for this one? La Erech Stam, didn't they use it for Erech Stam? Kare be erech be'erkecha. We've done this many times. Well, it could have just said erech. The fact that it says erech and be'erkecha, right? Erkecha is made up of erech and erkecha. Therefore, we can learn two things. Yachol shani motzi davar shaneshama tuliyabo. We're going along in the Brighton now. The next one was, well, then you might have thought, what if I give the erech of my head or someone else's head? That's not going to work. Oh, no, it does work. Why? Talmud Lamar, nefashot. Nefashot comes to say, right, something the body is dependent on, the life of the person is dependent on. Nifashot v'lo etameit. The next rasha was nifashot, to exclude the dead person, right? Someone who's dead. V'ha'afikte. But wait, didn't we just say nifashot was for this? How could you say nifashot is for that? Karebe nefesh nifashot. Again, we can say two drashot. This isn't going to help us, though, because nifashot, we saw there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drashot on nifashot. So it's only going to help us for the first two. Otsia tameit v'lo otsia tagoses. Now we're going along in the Braita. We'll get back to the nifashot. Next line in the Braita was, you might have thought, not a goses. Tamud lamar behemi behe'erich. So then they say, ihachi meit nami tipuglimi behemi behe'erich. You didn't need to derive from nifashot to learn to exclude it from that word. You could have derived it, well, the mate can't stand up. So obviously, right, he's going to be excluded. Hachinami. Really, that's true. Okay? Therefore, we're now going to say, we've gotten rid of one nifashot, because hemi beharich excludes the goses and the mate because both of them can't stand up. That's not viewed as two drashot because that's really one drasha. It's the same thing. Anyone who can't stand up can't be evaluated, right? Therefore, not part of erchin. Ve'ela nefesh nefashot lamanu. So what do we need the two nefashot for? Kidibi'ina lememar kaman, like we have further on about the mukat shchin, which we'll get back to. Davar acher, nefashot ein li ela echad sherich. Echad. But echad sherich mea minayin, tamud lamar nefashot. And then davar acher, nefashot ein li ela ish sherich bein ish bein isha, isha shericha ish v'isha shericha isha minayin, tamud lamar nefashot. And then davar acher, nefashot, we're just repeating the whole braita. All these cases of nifashot, you can see where they're going. They're going to have to explain why, how you can have all these things. Labi menuval mukat shchin. Baha afikte lahanach. But wait, we already used nefesh nifashot for the other drashot. So what did they say? Hanach lo tzrich ekra. You really don't need a pasuk for echad sherich mea, for isha sherich ish, and all that. Why? This very interesting answer. Maitama ki shakul hu v'yavo kulam. When you have things that are all about equal in essence, they're all talking about any sort of nefesh. It includes, right, nefesho plural, it includes a woman who, right, it includes all other characters. Once you kind of say that, they're all equal, you can actually, this is interesting, you can include all of them in one, from one word. As if you have things that are kind of equal in value, then you can throw in a whole bunch of different things from one drasha. So what do they say then? Which one can? Ki itzrichra. So which is the one that wins out? That really we say nefashot is coming for that. Lemenuval umukachchin hu de itzrich. Okay, it's really for that one. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from here tomorrow.